Aber die Anne, das Ding gehört.
Inna alhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala ashrafil anbiya Muhammad al-Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathiran kathira. Allahumma aati Muhammadan al-wasilata wal-fadila wa ba'ashu maqaman mahmuda al-ladhi wa'atta. Amma ba'd, my dear brothers and sisters and elders, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We continue with the series of khutab on the khutbatul wada of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the khutbah, after speaking about the sanctity of human life and related to that the issue of interest, because that also impacts on human life, he mentioned the issue of social strata and social ranking. And he said the meaning of which is truly the hereditary distinctions that were pretensions to respect in the Ayyamul Jahiliyyah, in the era of ignorance, have been laid aside forever, except for the custodianship of the Kaaba by Bani Abdiddar and the giving of drink, of giving water of Zamzam to the Hujjaj, to the pilgrims, by the Banu Abbas, by Al-Abbas. And then he said, he recited the ayat from Surah Al-Hujurat, Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. He said, the noblest of you in the sight of Allah is the one who is most muttaqi. There is nobility in Islam, but that nobility is not based on material wealth and territorial power. It is based on taqwa, on having a concern for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is based on piety. It is based on a state of the heart, not on a state of the pocket. And then he said, the Arab has no merit over the non-Arab other than taqwa. And then he said, as he did repeatedly in this khutbah, he addressed the people and he said, have I conveyed the message? And the people said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have conveyed the message. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked up to the heavens, he lifted up his finger and he said, oh Allah, be my witness. My brothers and sisters, Islam is the most egalitarian of all religions. We have no caste system, no clergy, no priesthood, no kingship, no nobility. All of these were introduced into Islam by people with vested interests for their own ends, and the general mindless multitude sold itself into slavery voluntarily. We are critical of those sects of Muslims who practice some form of blind leadership or who have some form of clergy and priesthood. And rightly so. However, what do you say about our own Indian Sunni caste system of the Ashraf, the Ajlaf and the Ardal castes, molded on the Hindu caste system, but unlike Hinduism, without any sanction for it from the religion, from our religion, the Quran and the Sunnah. The biggest evil of this system is the fact that it is the single biggest reason for many lower caste Hindus rejecting Islam, because they do not see any benefit in it in terms of a change in status for them in this life. When your life is to continue to be spent in slavery and abject poverty, it is very difficult to find the merit of theological argument based on the hereafter. After all, for the average person, the hereafter is reflected in this life. To expect them to see Jannah when they can't see their next meal and have to suffer discrimination and humiliation on a daily basis thanks to their birth is to stretch things beyond reason. How are we going to answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu? Especially those who support this caste crime. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Hujurat, there is a series of my khutbat on Surah Al-Hujurat, on all the different ayat of Surah Al-Hujurat. It is called Akhlaq of the Ummati. All of you who are here have heard them. If you want to read them, of course the khutbah, the link is on the website. And if you want to read them, it's in the form of a little book. It is called Akhlaq of the Ummati. Do read it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about this whole issue of caste. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس إنا خلقناكم من ذكر وأنثى وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعرفوا إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم إن الله عليم خبير. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, O mankind, we have created you from one male and one female, and made you into nations and tribes that you may know and recognize and appreciate one another. Verily, the most honorable of you in the sight of Allah is the one who has the most taqwa. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all knowing, all aware. The next point that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the khutbah is where he said, Shaitan has despaired of ever being worshipped in this land of yours, though he is content to be obeyed in other works of yours which you deem to be of little importance. Reflect on these words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is saying Shaitan has despaired that he will be worshipped in the form of making sujood, but he knows that you will obey him in other matters. What is the definition of worship in Islam? The definition of worship in Islam is to obey somebody or something, including your own nafs, in opposition to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I will give you the dalail once again. I have given this many times. Please reflect on them, because on the day of judgment, we will not be judged on the basis of your and my opinion. We will be judged on the basis of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. My brothers and sisters, this point that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made is a clear warning to enter into Islam fully and to make our desires subservient to this deen. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu udkhulu fis silmi kaffa وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, enter into Islam fully and completely. The ayat is addressed to those who already believe. Allah did not say, Ya ayyuhan nas udkhulu fi silmi kaffa, which would have been grammatically correct, logically correct. Allah is saying to the whole world, enter into Islam completely and fully. Allah did not say that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. What do we understand by an ayat which begins with this form of address? It is a direct hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be obeyed. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu means it is a direct hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Muslims. Ask yourself, are you a Muslim? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, O you who believe, enter into Islam fully. I already believe. What is the meaning of enter into Islam fully? It takes half a brain to understand this. It means that belief is the doorway. You have entered the doorway. You are not outside the house. But you are not inside the house either. You are standing in the doorway. Are you in? Are you out? Udkhulu fi silmi kaffatan. What does it mean? It means enter into Islam fully and completely in every aspect of your life. Every single aspect of your life. There is nothing in our lives, absolutely nothing, private or public, which is exempt from the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the sunnah of his Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Udkhulu fi silmi kaffa wa la tattabi'u khutuwati shaitan. Allah said, do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. Following the footsteps means that you are taking ownership for walking on that track. Allah did not say, don't go with Shaitan when he grabs you by the scruff neck and drags you on the path. He didn't say that. He said, don't follow the footsteps. Meaning what? Meaning Shaitan is not there. Only the footsteps are there. And when you choose to go on the track, it is a choice that you are making. He is not forcing you. Don't follow the footsteps means what? Means the person who made the footsteps is no longer there. Otherwise you won't say don't follow the footsteps. You will say don't follow him. You will say don't follow him. It makes no sense to say don't follow the footsteps when the person is standing there in front of you. You say don't follow him. Allah did not say don't follow him. Allah said don't follow his footsteps. Don't follow in the footsteps of Shaitan. لا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. Verily Shaitan is the greatest and the most manifest and the clearest enemy that you have. My brothers and sisters, let us open our eyes. The problem with most Muslims today, the most of us today, is disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala either to satisfy their own desires or to keep up with the Joneses, to keep up with the friends. We don't realize the evil of this and how dangerous it is for our dunya and akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about this in Surah Al-Furqan, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَٰهَهُ هَوَىٰ أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا أَمْ تَحْسَبُ أَنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ يَسْمَعُونَ أَوْ يَعْقِلُونَ إِنْ هُمْ إِلَّا كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, have you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, seen the one who has taken as his God, as his ilah, ilahahu, his ilah, al-hawa, his own desires? I didn't invent this. Look at the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, have you seen the one who has taken as his ilah? What is ilah? What do you, how do you enter Islam? La? Ilaha. Illallah. You do not say, la rabbana illallah. No. You say, la ilaha illallah. There is no one worthy of worship. There is no ilah. There is no God. There is no deity. There is no one that I bow my head to. Allah is saying that is a lie. Allah is saying that is a lie. Because you have taken as your ilah. You have taken as your object of worship. You have taken as your God, as your deity. What? Al-hawa. Your own desires. Your own desires. Allah likes this, but I like something else. Allah wants this, but I want something else. And between the two, which will get superiority? What I want. If what I want happens to coincide with what Allah wants, alhamdulillah, no problem. But if what I want does not coincide with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, well, sorry. What I want will happen. My brothers and sisters, fear Allah. Fear the anger of Allah. Fear the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't play games with Allah. Do not play games with Allah. There is an incident which happened. I won't narrate the incident, but it happened here. Where somebody was arguing about something to the masjid. And one of the drivers, his own driver. His driver said to him, "Tumhare ko ghasne ko koi nahi mila. Allah ich mila kya?" He told him that. I mean, very, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah give us the sense. We think these people are ignorant. That man has got more taqwa in his heart than anybody else. The man said, "Ghas lene ko koi nahi mila, Allah ich mila." Kai ko kar raha masjid ke taluq se. Seriously, ask yourself this thing. Ghas lene kar raha to koi dusra ko thodo. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, have you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, seen the one who has taken as his ilah, his own desire? Would you then be a wakil for him? Now look at this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prohibiting his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from asking forgiveness for the one who has taken his desire as his ilah. Afa anta takunu alayhi wakila? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, are you going to intercede for that person? What does it mean? Allah is saying, don't do that. Don't do it. You will not intercede for that person. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you think that most of them hear and understand? He says, kalanam, they are like cattle. They are like cattle. And then Allah says, bal hum adallu sabila. Allah says, they are like cattle, But actually they are even further astray from cattle. They are even further astray from the path. Because cattle obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything obeys Allah. Except the two makhluk which Allah has given irada to, which is ins wal jinn. Disobedience is only in these two creatures. My brothers and sisters, to give our desires superiority over the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is shirk. None of these sexy arguments that you use to legitimate and legalize for yourself what Allah has made illegitimate, none of those arguments, they don't even stand the light of day in this world. Try and use your arguments which legitimate belonging to clubs which are established for the purpose of propagating of haram. Bring your arguments with regard to participating in gambling just because it is on the tail of a horse. Bring all of those arguments which arguments that you have of having singing and dancing parties in your weddings, having singing parties in things which you do in the name of religion. You have a party for Eid and you have a woman singing there. You have something called Bismillah, which in itself is a problem, but even if you have that, then you have a singing woman there and you have some, and just because you get some Maulvi who you pay, who will come and recite that Bismillah for you. Bring those arguments and see if you can convince me. And if you cannot convince me, ask how are you going to convince Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When will you understand? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about this deliberate disobedience. About this deliberate disobedience. Danke ki chot pe Allah ta'ala ki na farmani. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُ بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, so when they forgot and they ignored the warning with which they had been reminded, when they continued to do evil, using the material, using the wealth, using the authority which Allah had given them, when they continued to do evil using that, when they continued to disobey Allah using that, what did Allah do? Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take it away? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, then we opened to them and opened on them the gates of every pleasant thing. Allah gave them more wealth and more authority and more women and more song and more dance. And more clubs opened their doors to them. Allah gave them everything. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Hatta idha farihu bima utu akhadnahum. Allah said, and then in the midst of their enjoyment, in that which they were given, all of a sudden, we took them to punishment. We grabbed them. Akhazna means to grab. We grabbed them. No time even to make tawbah. And Allah said, lo, they were plunged into destruction and deep regret and sorrow. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us all from this punishment. And to give us the tawfiq to open our eyes. Stop trying to please the world. Give up what wrong you are doing right now. Alhamdulillah, I say this to you because you are good people, mashallah. You are good people. You come every Jummah. You come and listen to this because there is something in your heart which tells you you must listen to it even if it sounds hard. Nobody brings you here by force. You come on your own. You have the choice to go to any other masjid in the world. Any other masjid in the city, and I can almost guarantee you that nowhere else will you hear any of this. But you come here, not because you like punishment, but because there is goodness in your heart. Don't allow that to die. Don't abuse it till the day when that light will shut out by itself. Follow your heart, because your heart brought you here. Don't leave here without being changed, because this is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah does not call to take. Allah calls to give. Ask Him for hidayah, because He told you to ask Him for hidayah. Ihdina siratal mustaqim.
Ask him for hidayah in his house. And inshallah, I ask my Rabb to guide you to that which pleases him, inshallah. My brothers and sisters, please understand. It is the wealthy in any society who have an additional responsibility of being role models for good and evil. Alhamdulillah, this masjid probably has more net worth than any other masjid in the city. Seriously, ask yourself, the wealthy people in the society have additional responsibility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives wealth to some people and he gives needs to other people. When the people of need come to you, share your wealth. Otherwise, Allah will give their need to you and then you will be among the needy. Ask yourself, do you want those needs? Wealth is not something that has been given to us just to enjoy ourselves and blow it on haram. Wealth has been given to us as a trust, as a responsibility. No alim worth the name, no annabi, no sahabi ever made dua for wealth. Please understand this. No one ever made dua for wealth. What wealth they got was despite that the fact that they did not want it. And that is why that wealth was khair for them. They never used it in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. A man came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm in great need. I'm destitute. I have nothing. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, go to Uthman bin Affan. The man went there. It was closing. It was close to getting dark. And as he reached the door of Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, and he was about to knock on the door, he heard a voice from inside. He heard Sayyidina Uthman saying to his wife, turn down the wick of the lamp. It burns too much oil. So the man was thinking to himself, who did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam send me to? This man is worried about how much oil that wick of the lamp is burning. What is he going to give me? So he turned around. He didn't knock on the door. He turned around and walked away. When he went a distance, he thought to himself, well, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent me here, so maybe he knows something that I don't know, so let me go back. So he went back and knocked on the door. Sayyidina Uthman opened the door. The man said, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent me and I am a destitute man, I have nothing, I have some needs, please help me. Sayyidina Uthman said, wait a minute. He went inside, he brought a bunch of keys, he took him across the road to his warehouse, he opened the door, he said, take whatever you want, when you are finished, lock the door, bring the keys back. Now, as Sayyidina Uthman was walking out, the man called him. He said, yes, Sayyid. He said, yes, what? He said, what is happening here? He said, what happened? You're not happy. He said, no, I'm very happy, but I'm confused. He said, why are you confused? He said, because I came to your house 10 minutes ago and I was about to knock on the door. I heard you saying to your wife, put down the wick of the lamp because it burns too much of oil. Now I come and ask you and you open the whole warehouse. You tell me, take whatever you want. It means I can take the whole warehouse. He said, yes. He said, how do the two link? He said, what is so difficult to understand? Sayyidina Uthman told the man, what is so difficult to understand about that? The oil that I burn in my lap, I have to give hisab to Allah for. Kaunsa din hai bas? Kaunsa din hai? Remember the Sahaba, the gold standard. They are the ones against whom we will be judged. Sayyidina Uthman said, Allah will question me for that lamp. But as far as giving to you, whatever you take, Allah will reward me for. So the more you take, the better for me. Ayya Kareem. And that is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, the people, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the wealthy of a society have a greater responsibility. Because people look up to them, they emulate them, they hold them up as the proof that something can be done and should be done. You spend a crore of rupees or more on a wedding of your daughter or your son. But do you know how many poor people go into debt? They actually borrow money on interest to have the wedding of their son or a daughter because they are looking up to you as the ideal. Do you know this is happening? Am I lying? You might say they are stupid. Yeah, they are stupid, but you are even more stupid. You are even more stupid. Because on the day of judgment, they are going to point to you. And they will say, Allah, these were our leaders. We followed them. So who is more stupid? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about these people who do selective obedience, picking and choosing what they want to obey and what they want to leave out. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْدِ فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يُرَدُّونَ إِلَى شَدِّ الْعَذَابِ وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, then do you believe in a part of the book and reject the rest? Then what is the recompense for those who do so among you, except disgrace in the life of this world? And on the day of resurrection, they will be consigned to the most grievous torment. And Allah is not unaware of what you do. Selective obedience is disobedience. Selective obedience is arrogance. Selective obedience says in the language of our actions that we consider ourselves and our desires to be more important than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Selective obedience fools nobody except the one who is practicing it. Selective obedience is costly and dangerous because the one doing it does not see its evil until it's too late. Allah said, "Udkhulu fi silmi kaffatan." Enter into Islam completely. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam then mentioned the issue of women and he said, "So fear Allah in respect to women and concern yourself with their welfare." Have I given the message? Oh Allah, be my witness. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Fear Allah with respect to women." He did not say fear women. Today we seem to fear women more than we fear Allah. Rasulullah ﷺ especially cautioned men about their women. This refers to all the women under the guardianship of the man. His wife, his daughter, his mother and sister after his father passes away. But his wife and daughter while his father is alive. The man will be questioned about them and will be held accountable for their actions if these resulted from either his teaching or lack of teaching. Allah will not question the woman about her man. But He will question the man about his woman. Rasulullah said, the women are like your prisoners, so treat them well. He said this because for the most part, women are in the power of their husbands and their fathers and in some cases in the power of their brothers. So if their rights are violated, then the men will answer because the women may not have the power to get their rights on their own. So what are the rights? Listen carefully. It is the right of the wife that she should be paid her mahar. That she should be treated kindly and honorably. That she should be fed and clothed and kept in keeping with the husband's wealth and status. That all her needs be fulfilled to the best of his ability. That she should be guided and encouraged to live a life of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in accordance with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That her personal wealth and property are not taken by the husband. It is the right of the wife that she be permitted to visit her family and to keep those relationships. It is her right that she be helped in housework and the upbringing of children by her husband. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made parenting the responsibility of both parents. And that is why both parents are mentioned in the plural everywhere in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, walidain. Allah did not mention the mother alone except in the case of the pregnancy where He specifically mentioned the difficulties of the pregnancy. These, my brothers and sisters, are basic rights, minimal rights. After all, the marriage is more than feeding and clothing your bride. It is the right of the sister that she is given her full inheritance when her parents pass away. Brothers who deny sisters their inheritance, claiming that it was spent on her wedding, are guilty of oppression. And they will eat the fire of Jahannam
in the form of their sister's inheritance if they swallow it. Fathers who deny daughters' inheritance, claiming that they spent that on their wedding, are also playing with fire, the fire of Jahannam. They will answer to Allah when they meet Him, "Spending on a daughter's wedding is not necessary, it is not Islamic. Keep weddings simple, as that is our way. We have taken on customs that don't belong to us, which contradict our religion, and we suffer as a consequence. It is the right of the sister, if she is a widow, that the brothers ensure that she doesn't want for anything and that they help her to the best of their ability. It is the right of the daughter that the father spends time on her tarbiyah, and that he ensures that she knows Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and is obedient to them in all respect. It is her right that her parents ensure her religious and social skills training, so that she knows all fundamental matters of religion, can read and understand the Quran, and knows and follows the Sunnah, and has good manners. It is her right that her parents ensure that she learns the skills of homemaking. She has the right to study whatever she wants beyond this. I am talking about the duty for which the father will be questioned. The father will not be questioned whether the daughter became a doctor or an engineer. The father will be questioned whether the daughter knew Allah and His Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is her right that her father loves her and guards her and eventually gets her married to a suitable man in accordance with the Sharia. It is her right that her wish be respected in this matter and that she is not forced into marriage. Force can be direct, can be indirect. Emotional blackmail is a very favorite tactic of many parents. Don't even try it. Don't even think about it, because you will answer to Allah. If she says no, you have no right even to ask her the reasons why she is saying no. That no is sufficient. If she doesn't want to marry him, that's the end of the story. No matter how much you love the guy, she is the one marrying him. It is her right that her father does not allow her to disobey Allah and His Messenger in any matter and brings her up to be a good Muslim. Needless to say, these are also the rights of the sons. It is the right of the children that they must get tarbiyah from their parents. Lucky are those children whose parents are also their teachers and their shuyukh. Parents who taught them the Quran and whose voice they recall when they read the Quran. Parents who introduce them to Allah and whose dua is their resource in both lives. Parents who they recall when they think of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When they recall the sunnah in terms of following it, not in terms of breaking it. Parents who they recall when they think of the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Parents who they feel inspired from. Parents who inspire them. Ask yourself, are you such a parent? Are you such a parent? If you are, and I know some of you are, alhamdulillah, all power to you. But if you are not, right now is the time to change. As long as you are alive, you can change. Don't wait. It is the right of the husband that he must be obeyed in all legitimate matters that don't contradict Islam. It's a strange thing today. Parents are the ones who take the hijab off the head of their daughters. Husbands are the ones who take the hijab off the heads of their wives. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. How many times do your daughters come to me and tell me, my mother does not allow me to wear hijab. My father and mother say that I will not get married if I wear hijab. And my answer always is, yes, you are right. You will not get married to an enemy of Allah. You will not get married to the one for whom Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told don't make shafaat and dua for him. You will not get married to a person who is a baghi, who is a fasiq and fajir, who is somebody who disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you want to get married to such a person? No. What is the key? Keep your hijab on. The one who gets married to a woman who is obedient to Allah will find a wife who is obedient to him. If you want to marry a woman who does not obey Allah, remember, you are nothing compared to Allah in her eyes. If she does not even obey Allah, you are less than the boot on her foot. And that's how she will treat you, and that is what we see happening. It is the right of the husband that he should be obeyed in all legitimate matters. that don't contradict Islam. This is to the extent that Rasulullah ﷺ said that a wife is not permitted even to give charity from her husband's property without his prior consent. He said that if she does so, she will be a sinner and he will get the reward. He also said that a wife is not permitted to fast a nafil voluntary fast without his permission. However, she is permitted to disobey him if he tells her to do something that is against Islam, like taking off her hijab or anything similar to that, because she was ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do that. And if you prevent her, then you are responsible. Rasulullah ﷺ said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that man who wakes up for tahajjud and then wakes up his wife. And he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that woman who wakes up for tahajjud and then wakes up her husband. Allah said, ta'awanu alal birri wa taqwa, wa la ta'awanu alal ithmi wal udwan. Become each other's helpers in good, in piety and in taqwa. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a woman, when her husband dies, if the husband dies in a state where he is happy with the woman, on the day of judgment, when that woman is called before Allah, she will be given the choice of which door of Jannah she wants to enter from. My sisters who like to lord it over their husbands, think about this. Somebody told me, on all major issues we agree, but we fight like cat and dog. I don't know which is the cat, which is the dog. We fight like cat and dog over small things. What is more stupid than that? What is more stupid than that? You are agreed on all the main things. Why do you need to fight like cat and dog over small things? Leave the small things, man. What is the choice? The choice is your husband dies, he is happy with you and he dies in that state. Allah will give you, or you die before him when he is happy with you. Allah will give you, and this was not said to the man. Remember this, you have no choice. You better straighten your life. But for the woman, she is given the choice of which door, which gate of Jannah do you want to enter from. So decide. You want to boss around here? Or you want to have the choice of which gate of Jannah you want to enter from? My brothers and sisters, it is the right of the husband. And please understand, all rights means what? Means you are accountable for it. You are questionable on it. You are punishable if Allah does not forgive you. A right is a serious matter. These are not recommendations. These are rights. Huquq. And as I mentioned to you, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in this Khutbatul Wada mentioned all huquq ul ibad, all the rights of people. It is the right of the husband that his wife must not allow anyone who doesn't like into the house. It is the right of the husband that his wife is faithful to him and that she doesn't have a relationship with anyone other than him. If she is unfaithful, and listen to this. If she is unfaithful and has an affair, sexual intimacy, then he is advised to first warn her. Then he is advised to refuse to share his bed with her. And then if she still persists, then he is permitted to beat her lightly but not on the face. He is not permitted to slam her against the wall and bounce her off the ceiling. No. And in which condition? Here is a woman who is having an affair openly with some other man. She is sleeping with him. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Take out your sword, separate her head from her body and do it with the man. No. Advise her, warn her, tell her this is not a good thing, don't do this. She still persists. Alright, you can't come into my bedroom, obviously I don't want to share my bed with you. She still persists. Ajeeb, huh? You didn't know any of this, right? Because you don't want to read the Quran. And then what does Allah say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and if she sees the error of her ways, after all of this she realizes, yes, sorry, I did a wrong thing, and stops doing it, then the man is advised to take her back and be good to her. Please note, the so-called beating of women, which is one of the false allegations against Islamic law, claiming that it is allowed,
is permitted only in the case of the wife having an affair and refusing to cease and desist even after repeated warnings and separation from the husband. Even in that case, it is not ordered, it is permitted, with a caveat that he must not physically hurt her or harm her. The beating is symbolic. It is not a physical thrashing, no matter how much you may think the woman deserves it. I challenge those who claim that women are oppressed in Islam to find me a law that is not just lenient and considerate, but to such an extent as to seem almost unreal. There is no mercy greater than the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. There is no need to be apologetic about the Sharia. Only the ignorant are apologetic. Explain it in context. Those who are fair and just will see its virtue. Those who are unfair and unjust, their opinion doesn't matter. It is sad to see that today, even though Islam gives women's rights that no other system gives them to this day, it is Muslim men who don't give those rights to their women. Who Muslim men oppress their women in different ways. Women are not chattels or inanimate property to be treated as such. It is even sadder to note that it is women who oppress their sisters even more than men. Enter the mother-in-law syndrome on which our entire Bollywood and Tollywood is based. It is strange to remember that the mother-in-law, for the most part, gets her son married to a woman of her choice and then proceeds to treat her like a slave. The poor girl is helpless in a strange alien environment and has no helpers, except of course her Rabb. I warn all husbands and mothers-in-law to fear the dua of the helpless daughter-in-law. For the dua of the oppressed against his or her oppressor goes straight to the arsh of Allah without any barriers. And this happens even if the oppressed is not a Muslim. What about your daughter-in-law's dua who is a Muslim? Treat them well or face Allah. For daughters-in-law, because I'm sure all of them are feeling very happy now, so I have to take down that a couple of times. For daughters-in-law who play politics, I would like to warn them not to light a fire inside the house. It can only burn you. Don't make your husband choose between you and his mother. Under her feet is Jannah, under your feet is mud. Don't politicize the children. All these tactics come home to haunt. Your children listen with their eyes and they learn from you. So be prepared to be treated like you treat your elders. Takes two to tango. Do your part and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable you to do that which is pleasing to him and to guide you and to give you hidayah. I ask you to make dua, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, make that dua, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide you. Change your ways starting right now. Stop shaving your beards. You thought I missed that one, right? Stop shaving your beards. Resign from the clubs that you have joined or are members of. And may Allah forgive those parents who bring their children into those clubs and become the introducers of their children in those clubs. Clubs established for the sake of promoting consumption of alcohol, for the sake of promoting gambling. And don't give me any bunkum about that's not true. I used to belong to some of them which you aspire for. And you will not even reach there because it takes too long. You will be dead before that. And I resign from them. Why? I am many things, but I am not stupid. I resigned because I understood the danger of that. Resign right now. Forget about what anybody else will tell you. That anybody else is not going to come into your qabr. That anybody else is not going to stand with you before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. Do not fight Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Change your lives right now. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for you, to help you to see what is right and to do what is right. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain.